Everything's happening like right now.
You're like,
Like,
God,
God
please.
Damn it. Welcome to the Incoherent Fangirl,
where we're both wildly unprepared, but at least we're here.
Yeah, we're doing our best.
We're trying.
I am Karen from Daylight Falls.
I'm Mandy from my laptop. More on that later.
In our timeline, it is August 28th, and in y'all's timeline, it is September 5th. We are in the Burr months.
We're in the Burr months, and
Yay!
I think I got the go-ahead to make the big beacon announcement in the spiel. And I
Yay!
think I should be on the way to participate in that. I'm going to make you guys wait until the end to know what it is. But I think when you're hearing this, I should possibly be on the way.
Yay! Very exciting.
Yay!
Finally!
Finally, it's
I
only
feel
a
like it's,
month.
yeah, it's been like a gazillion years, my God.
Yeah.
This week in fangirling, what did you do?
I left it downstairs, but I have a lot of living in the dead updates. So, thanks to Dahlia Adler, I updated my website. I started pre-orders. I've gotten like 80 sales since last Friday or Saturday. I think Saturday, maybe. I have my ARC list going. So if you're interested in getting an ARC, it's aepurvis.com. It's somewhere on the website. It probably slash ARCs. I probably should have known that before we start logged in, but I told you already we're wildly unprepared.
Wildly unprepared.
I got everything on, I got it on Amazon and it's in Ingram Spark. So it's literally on the Barnes & Noble website right now. What
Which
the
is
fuck? This is so
crazy.
crazy. I designed some logos for myself. I like forayed into Adobe Illustrator. Who am I? I'm a graphic designer. And I am reading through one last time for any like final edits, little teeny tiny things that jump out at me. I found like some spelling issues and stuff. So I'm fixing that. And then it'll be done and ARCs will go out and October 13th, everybody.
That's so crazy.
So if you are a person who stops listening to a podcast when they start going over their like spiel, you don't even know that we give out coupon codes at the end of the episode for a lot of places. But I want to tell them my coupon code now just because it's funny. So all of our coupon codes to like everything are either fangirl or fangirl 10, right? Like that's just, it's easy to remember. It's fangirl or it's fangirl 10 for 10% off. So I was going to make my coupon code for incoherent fangirl listeners. And I started to make it fangirl 10, but then I was like, no, no, no. There's something that's more me. So if you'd like a copy of The Living and the Dead, signed, personalized, whatever, you can go to aepurvis.com/shop and enter code Aaron Warner for 10% off.
Oh my God. You
I mean,
me
what is more me than that?
That's true.
Not much.
That's true.
Not, right before I came up here, I'd finished writing out what notes I could. And I was scrolling through TikTok and I landed on a video of this dude saying that Juliet should have ended up with Adam.
What? Did you even read the books?
I'm like, okay, this is embarrassing. I gotta go record a podcast now. Bye.
Wait, but
anyways,
a dude said that?
A dude.
Oh, that makes sense.
Granted,
actually.
I think he's in, like, he's not gotten to Ignite me yet.
Okay.
So, but he
but
thinks that
also,
Adam is great. And I'm like,
but
I don't
also,
know.
Like, a dude. I can see it.
True. Adam was done wrong. Justice for my boy.
Unless Blech. he's like, I don't think that he gets that.
True. True.
Yeah.
Okay. I spent a lot of the weekend editing a book for a friend slash beacon personality who's wanting to get their story out. So I've been editing for them. I'm sure we'll give more on that when it is actually getting ready to come to fruition. I've watched a couple of episodes of Downton, but I've really just been editing my book. I did have to go on a semi-long trip to get some meds for one of my dogs at a faraway vet. So I listened to Room for Two by Lana Ferguson. It's her audio first dual POV novella. It's a quick little meet cute blind date love story for Cade and Nora. At the beach one night last year, Cade has this hot, very drunk girl come up to him and they briefly have a talk and then she plants a giant perfect kiss on him. Shortly thereafter, she starts working at his favorite coffee shop and he very awkwardly fumbles through every interaction that they have.
Adorable.
He'll tell her like it's gonna rain and she's like, "What?" And he's like, "If you need an umbrella, it's gonna rain. You might if you have one, you might want to bring it with you." And she's like, "Okay." She thinks Kate is so hot and tries to talk to him, but she doesn't think he's interested in her because of how awkward he is. So she just thinks like he's trying to like give me the cold shoulder so as not to be like, "Hey, I'm not interested in you." She thinks he's just trying to be weird. So she like she'll leave him alone. And he knows that she's the girl that he kissed him. She doesn't know that because she was drunk. Their friends get super tired of hearing about them pine over each other, and their friends are friends. So they set them up on a date, a blind date. Well, Nora's friend sets her up on a blind date. Kate's friend tells him that it's an interview for a new apartment, like a new roommate for his house. So they're halfway through the date before that comes to everybody's awareness. It was very cute. It was steamy. It was everything you'd expect from Lana Ferguson in just like a little bitty shorty baby version.
Yay.
So it was very cute. And then I started Wicked Believer by Kate Ballinger. More on that later. And that is my week. It's been very, very, I've had two migraines and it's
Yay.
been very, very, build your website, build, get logos, list things, business side of publishing a book, buying ISBNs, business side of publishing a book, and editing most of the week. What did you do this week?
I read a lot. I finally finished A Day of Fallen Night by Samantha Shannon. I had started it a few weeks back and then I had to pause because my loan expired and so I had to wait for it to come back.
Oh
So I
no.
was like halfway through, which, if you know this book, it's very long. So
You probably needed a break.
I needed a break, so it was fine. Can I tell you anything about it? No, because it's been a while and I don't have notes. But I do have the Storygraph page open, so we're gonna try. So this is like a prequel set in the same world of The Priory of the Orange Tree, also by Samantha Shannon, and it follows four women. And kind of shows how the things that are happening in their time affects the future
Diary.
of the Priory and everything. So I think one of them is a sister in the Priory. One of them is a queen or is like supposed to step into being a queen, but she's like underage, so she needs like a regent, and she's like trying to learn how to become a queen during this time, and the regent may or may not have her best interest at heart. And then there's something to do with dragons. I'm really bad at explaining this plot, but it's very like high fantasy, high epic fantasy. Like you have to be in the right headspace to read it because one, it's very long, and two, it's like there's so much going on that if you like blink for 2 seconds, you'll be lost. But I enjoyed it. I had a good time. I just can't tell you the plot of it. But it because there's a lot of plot.
Yeah.
But it was a good time. I read Never a Hero by Vanessa Lange, which is the second book in her, I think it's just called Monsters series, Only a Monster series. Only a Monster is the first book. This is the sequel to that. And so this picks up pretty much immediately after the events of the first book. So I can't really talk about it too much because the entire plot of the second book hinges on the thing that the first book, like, ends on, and it's a huge spoiler. So I really, really cannot talk about the plot of this, other than I really loved it and I thought it built upon the first book really well. The first book, I read it, and when it finished, I was like, oh, this could be read as a standalone. Like, it really could have. It would, but I think continuing it as a series also is very satisfying. And this second one definitely leaves off on a cliffhanger, and I am very anxious for the third book to come through my Libby so that I can finish the series. I have no idea how everything's gonna end. I have no guesses, I have no theories, I've got nothing. So I'm very excited to see how it ends. I also think it's very funny that one of the like So it's kind of love triangle-esque, and one of the love interests is a like 6 foot something blonde man named Aaron.
Oh, well, I mean, Aaron Warner's not 6 foot something, bless his little short king heart, but
Yeah, but I could see your brain turn a little bit.
wait a minute.
So I thought it was that was really really funny. I don't think that's who she's gonna end up with. But he is a sweetheart. I do love him.
I don't know that anybody would call Aaron Warner a sweetheart, but
No, I'm not saying that Aaron Warner is a sweetheart. I'm
yeah.
saying Aaron Oliver is a sweetheart. And in book two is, I don't know how to s explain it without giving things away, but his character is very different in book two than in book one. And in book two, he's feels very ruthless, and it's such a drastic difference from book one. And once you like, if you read them both, like you'll understand why I can't really explain why his character is so different. But it's so good. I'm really excited to read the third one.
That, like, funny aside.
Oh, that's crazy.
Isn't that weird? That's why, like, when you said it, I was like, oh.
Well, all right then. That's crazy.
We had to edit it out because it's a personal
Yeah.
aside, but I
But
know someone with that name.
yeah.
So that was what the was
That's
for, because
so
I know
crazy.
someone. I just don't want to say who.
Right, of course.
Who specific, like, who to
Who
me they are.
specifically? Right.
Yeah. I just
Because
gave their name,
we
but
respect people's privacies.
yes, exactly.
Okay, I read The Gathering Dark, which is an anthology edited by Tori Bovelino. This is a collection of like folk horror stories, and I mean it's an anthology, so like there were some that I really enjoyed, and then there's some where I like they're just okay. But it was definitely good for getting into the mood of spooky season because of the type of like stories that were being told. A couple of the authors that whose names you'd recognize, Hannah Witton and Chloe Gong,
Oh, never heard of her.
and there was one more, and it's gone. I've lost it. But yeah, it was a fun like quick little read. Anthologies are pretty quick reads, and they're really fun. I read Three Shattered Souls by Mai Corlin, which is the third book in the Five Broken Blades series. Broken Blade series? I don't know what the name of the series is, but anyways, it's the finale of the
We're
trilogy.
just out of reach, or I would grab it.
So I can't say much. Things are happening. It literally picks up right after the second one ends, and
Things are being pronounced all over the place.
The audio, I think, I mean, for the most part, I think the audiobook was done well. I think there were just a little bit of a
It needed a
rush.
show Bible.
It
It
needed,
tells everybody how to pronounce the same words.
I know that I didn't complain directly to you about this. I did complain about like different narrators pronouncing names differently. There was literally one part where it was the same chapter, so one narrator pronounced the name two different ways within like literally within like 5 seconds of each other. I'm not
That
kidding.
would have sent me into a crash out
I
for
was
real.
like, what? Did I just hear that right? Are you kidding me? And so the book itself is
Yeah,
fantastic.
book itself's great, but
The I if they have the money, the budget to do it, I would re-record the audiobook.
I would re-edit the second audiobook because I know I talked about, at least to you, hearing like water bot
Yeah. I can't
like
hear it
water bottle
because
sounds.
your mic is too good because I can't hear
It's
any.
literally right here.
Nothing.
That's crazy.
Nothing.
Okay, well, it's like water bottle, like somebody's nails hitting their
Like
water bottle,
this.
and then yeah, and then like you can hear them take a sip and like pages shuffling in one
Yeah.
section of it. And I was like, this is the scariest thing ever.
There was one, I think after I talked to you about it, there was one part where there was like an incredibly long pause, which is makes it means that it was like an incredibly long pause because I listen at 3x speed. So it was
Yeah.
like, if it was long for me, then the regular speed would have been way longer.
Yeah.
So yeah, I definitely think that if they have the budget and the opportunity to do it, re-recording the audiobooks, maybe not the first one,
Might
but like
be
the
a good
second or third
idea.
might be
Yeah.
a good idea. I will also say it threw me again because they pronounced her name as May Corland, and like I know we talked to her about it, and she's like, honestly, it doesn't matter because it's like a pen name, but like it should be Mai.
Yeah, like, but half the interviews you watch on YouTube, they call her Mai, half of them they call her May, and it's like, what is it?
I get confused, but
I do
yeah.
too.
But the book itself was phenomenal. And I had seen, so she has a new book coming out called Verity Guild. And then I had seen on Instagram that she's like, maybe a spin-off of this, and she's like, if you finished it, then you know. And I'm like, I do know, I understand now. And I would be very excited. I'm very excited about that because, yeah. So it's excellent. I loved it. Next, I read Gothic Town by Emily Carpenter. So this follows. What's her name? Hold on, I'm gonna pull up her name because otherwise I'm just gonna keep saying that girl.
The
So,
girl, the girl, the
yeah.
girl.
So it's Billie Hope. So Billie was a victim of like the pandemic, right? So she had a restaurant. It was doing really great. Celebrities were coming. It was very popular. They had like months long wait lists. And then COVID happened. And everything shut down. She had to close her restaurant, sell off everything. And so she's just kind of been like in limbo since then. And so she gets a random email that she thinks originally is like a spam, but like she does some research into it and realizes that no, it's legit. So it's this small town called Juliana that is offering like have, you've heard of those like $1 or 1 euro houses in like Europe for people to immigrate.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So it's like that, but it's like you pay $100 and you get a house in Juliana, like free and clear, basically. And you just have to, you have to like, I think, open a business in the town,
Yeah.
in order for, like that's part of the deal. And so she gets this, she talks to her husband, she's like, I think this could be really good for us. We'd have lots of land. They have a small daughter. We have lots, they we've had lots of land. We and I could start a restaurant again and all of this. And she convinces him to leave. They move out of New York to the small town, Juliana. I forget what state it's in, but it's this small town of Juliana. And she thinks things are going great. She's, opening her restaurant. Things are going well. It's becoming popular. Unfortunately, her husband seems to be not adjusting well, and she starts to realize that maybe there is something more to the town than she originally thought. And it, I mean, it was fine. It's nothing to write home about. Like, I probably would never reread it, but it was well written. It was a decently intriguing story. I just never felt like I cared about them.
I hate when a book is like
You
that.
know, like I just didn't
You're just
feel
not really
like,
invested.
yeah, I wasn't invested. The only person I cared about was the little girl. And like, there is a point where she is in danger, and I was like stressed out, but she's fine. The girl's fine. The little girl's fine. But yeah, she was the only one I really cared about.
Gotcha.
So it was fine. I just didn't really feel like I personally connected with any of the characters. And the honestly, the biggest thing that I had going against it is that this book, I believe, was published in 2025, and it made a Harry Potter reference. And I just don't think if you are publishing something,
There's no way you missed.
yeah, in 2025, like even if you wrote this 3 years ago,
You have time to
you have
say, hey,
time to
wait, wait,
change.
wait.
It's 2025. You have time to edit that reference out. And that really, I think once that hit, I was like, you know what? I might be fully checked out of this. Like, I was like, the story's intriguing and like, I like the way it played out, but I just was not invested, which is unfortunate. I read This Place Is Still Beautiful by CC Tien. This follows, so there's two sisters. One is in New York for college, and one is still back home, I think either in like an Illinois town. I don't know if they named the town, but that's beside the point. So the sister that is still at home comes home one day to find a racial slur spray painted across their garage. A racial slur that somebody could use against me. So it was really stressful and uncomfortable. and especially since like there was just that recent like Love Island discourse around this particular slur. So it was very weird timing for me. I knew going into it like this was the plot of the book, so I wasn't like blindsided, but it was like incredibly uncomfortable. And so she's the younger sister. She it first her first instinct is to call her older sister, who they're not even really that close, but that's her first instinct, which means obviously that there's like some deeper connection there, which is great. We love a sisterly bond. Her sister drops everything and comes home like same day, like within a few hours, immediately. She doesn't get home till like 2 a.m., but she's like immediately drops everything and
Immediately on
comes
the
home.
way.
Yeah. And so she gets home and her mom and her sister are kind of just like, whoa, you're here. And she's like, okay, what are we doing? And her mom and her sister are like, what are you talking about? And she's all ready to like, she's like, we gotta call the cops. We gotta, you know, we have to find out who does this or who did this. And her sister and her mom are like, we just want it to like go away. We don't want to think about this anymore. So it's a battle between the two of them. The sister is like, one really wants to go to the police and figure out what's happened, and the other is like, I want this to just go away. I don't want to be known as the family that was hate crimed, you know? Especially since they are in a white majority kind of city where everybody kind of knows each other. And so it's basically like the story of the like 6 week summer that they are kind of trying to figure out. One sister is trying to figure out who did it. The other sister is trying to pretend it didn't happen while having like her first major relationship. And she's very like torn between this new world that she's getting brought into and her sister. And her sister is very like she's always been very social justice like active, trying to make sure that people are behaving properly, and you know, and so yeah, it's wildly uncomfortable in exactly the way that it needs to be, and it ends in I don't want to say it's satisfactory, but it ends in the way that you would expect it to, like with hate crimes in a white majority kind of place. But I really enjoyed it. It was also wildly uncomfortable for me specifically because I could see like the younger sister is very much like past me and the older sister is very much present me. And so I was like, oh God, oh, why is there a mirror being held up to myself? Like it was really, I really enjoyed it. I think that it should be required reading. To just kind of get an idea of like the things that go on in somebody's head when they've been hate crimed, like especially like for like non-violent hate crimes, you know? Because obviously the violent ones you can see more of the effect that has on people, whereas like the something like somebody spray painting a slur on your garage, that takes more of an emotional toll. So it's like you getting to be inside their heads while they're trying to like navigate that is really, I think, eye-opening.
We had a car in my local mall, like within like the past 2 or 3 weeks, that like was spray painted with a slur and like Nazi symbols and stuff. And everybody was like, call the police. Oh my God, this is terrible. The person comes out, they had spray painted it on their own car to be offensive.
What?
Yeah. You'll be shocked to know it was a white dude.
The South is wild.
It's the weirdest fucking place. Like, I can't. It's so weird here.
That is wild. My God, some
Yeah.
people.
Hate it here.
It's
I
yeah.
hate it here.
It's also, I think it's important to note that the family is mixed race. So, dad is like a white man and mom is Chinese. And the younger daughter is more white presenting, and the older daughter is more Chinese presenting. And so there's a lot of comments like, well, you don't even look Chinese, so like, why does it bother you? Like, things like that. And so it's there's also that like dynamic to the story as well, which thank God she addresses at the end of it too, because I was like so frustrated with her. But at the same time, I'm like, oh, you're me. You're me when I was that age. Okay. Maybe this is a deeper level of why I'm upset about this. But I really liked it. It was really good. But be prepared to be wildly uncomfortable if you do read it. And I read Under the Lights by Dahlia Adler, which is book two of the Daylight Falls series, duology, I think. So you have Josh Chester, who is bad boy in Hollywood, and he, you know, is doesn't really care about shit. He just wants to party. He's 19. All he cares about just partying and, you know, living life. And he's like, I'll do work if I have to. So he does like modeling gigs and stuff.
Or he's one of those.
Yeah, he's like, because his family's wealthy, so he like can also kind of do whatever. But his mom, who has been on a soap opera for like ever, is just found out that their show is being canceled, and so she decides, in order to stay relevant, that they need to do a reality TV show of their family, and she blackmails him into doing it because he's currently living in their beach house, and she's like, well, I still own it, so I could just sell it off, and he doesn't have anywhere else to stay and doesn't have the money to buy it. And so he's like, ugh, fine. And then you have Vanessa something.
Vanessa.
Vanessa Park. No, I was like, it's important. She's Asian. So Vanessa Park, who is a Korean American actress in the teen, like, think like One Tree Hill, Teen Wolf, that kind of like teen drama kind of thing. I don't think there's a paranormal aspect to it, but I don't think that matters. But she is on the show. She is like the lead. And she is really like trying to figure out life without her best friend because her best friend has just moved away to New York across the country for college, and she's like, I've always had her here, and I don't know, like, I don't have anybody else to talk to. And so she meets, her name is not Bree, her name is Brianna. And she meets Brianna, who is like the daughter of her publicist, and she may or she the more time she spends with her, the more she's starting to maybe have some feelings that she never expected to have for a woman.
Ooh.
Very, very confusing for her. And she has to kind of decide whether or not she is going to be true to herself. And in order to be true to herself, maybe put herself out of the spotlight, like ruin her career because you know how people can be. And so her and Josh hate each other, but they're forced to be friends because
Oh no.
their best friends are dating. And so they end up forming this kind of like really weird friendship. And really find like a way to find themselves in the friendship between the two of them. And it's pretty cute. I enjoyed it. I
Oh.
was mildly confused that the cover of this book was two women kissing, but then the two POVs were Josh and Vanessa. And I was like, wait. Yeah, that was confusing at first, but then it made sense the further I got into it. And I thought it was really fun. It was really fun.
Good.
And you know me, I'm a Dahlia Adler stan, so
Yeah.
she can do no wrong. I also am 94% of the way into Wicked Believer. I'm very upset. I've had to stop because all the things are happening right now. But we shall talk about that shortly. And I believe that was my whole week.
That was a busy week.
Yeah, there was a lot of reading.
Do you have a fictional boyfriend from all of that reading?
I would be remiss if I did not say Royo from Three Shattered Souls. He is just like this big gigantic, like he's so grumpy, but he's also just like a big gigantic teddy bear. Once you get down to the brass tacks, he is just such a sweetheart for like the people that he loves, and he'll just be like, you know what? I will do whatever it takes to make sure y'all are safe. And when he doesn't get his way, he is extra grumpy, and we love a grumpy Royo.
Oh, yeah, he is really
He's
grumpy.
so grumpy. So yeah, I love Royo.
Royo, I always like he like obviously not like physically, but
Right.
like his demeanor and like the way he acts always reminded me of Bo Hannon from Hell on Wheels, how he's just like about everything all the time. Like, ugh, do I have to?
He's so grumpy, and I
Yeah.
love it so much. What about you?
Well, since I haven't done a whole lot, it's gonna be Ride and Pengrave. My tortured little baby who looks like Tom Hiddleston and urines like Erin Warner. Need I say more? You're
No.
basically l gonna learn what like a perfect person is to
I love it.
Yeah, we're gonna go with Ryden. I hope everybody meets him soon.
Riding is a good choice. Riding is
Thank
a good
you.
choice. But you know my heart belongs to Jolly.
I know.
I
It's
love
so
him.
funny that like I wrote myself an Erin Warner character and you and Brandy both were like, but can we talk about Jolly?
Yeah.
Because
You and we're your Kenji babes.
I
So
know exactly. It's so funny to
I love
me.
it. I love it. It's so funny. Yay.
Yay.
That sound means we have an intruder
It means
alert.
we have a repeat offender.
Yes, well, I should make a special sound for repeat offenders because
Yes, I want
Hey,
next
yes.
time, okay? We are back with Kate Ballinger. We're gonna talk about Wicked Believer. I'm sad I don't have the cover yet, but soon. Soon. Oh, the beauty.
Beautiful. I have to tell you, last week we were betting on whether Roy Kent would still be with us behind you.
We're glad.
Roy Kent is absolutely still with us. He will always be with us. He's here, he's there, he's everywhere,
It. Welcome back, Kate. We're so excited to have you.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm glad to be here.
All right, you know what we have to do. Normally we'd ask for the elevator pitch. I mean, it is a sequel of sort. I mean, it is a sequel, so you could technically tell us what this book is about without spoiling the other one. Yeah.
I think we're safe
I think
to
so. I was like thinking it over. I'm like, no, I think we're good. You could elevator pitch this one.
Exactly. Yeah. So Wicked Believer is the sequel to Original Sinner, and anybody who's read Original Sinner will know, right, that Charlotte is immortal at the end of book one, and so she is sort of coming into her immortality, figuring what it looks like to be Lucifer's girlfriend in this book, and what that means, like interacting with his family and the other originals, and also finding out more details about the world building that we set up in book one, right? What's going on? Like, where is God? Why has he gone somewhere? What does that mean for Lucifer and his siblings, as well as the archangels, who are also his siblings? Lots of family drama.
Lots of family drama. My God.
The most family drama.
Yes.
So Charlotte's in pretty new territory with all of this, but on
Yes.
top of that, we have some new characters that I
Yes.
think are going to end up being like fan favorites. So is Azrael planned when you started Original Sinner? Did you know where you
So,
were going to go?
Azrael wasn't initially a plan. I knew Lucifer had had an ex-boyfriend in the past. I did not know that it was specifically Azrael and like all those details. But then when I got to the very opening of writing Wicked Believer, this was like, when I'm very first drafting it. And at this point, I was still working on edits for Original Sinner. I was like, oh, the realization came to me of who Lucifer's ex that I'd been thinking about was. And I was like, okay, I have to like go back and like layer in some very tiny hints in book one. So if you look back, there's a couple places where death is capitalized and there's no explanation of why, and it's always in Lucifer's POV. So
Ooh.
there's like little tiny hints there. So Azrael has been a
Hey.
plan for quite some time. And when I first put his character in there, I don't think I fully expected that it was gonna go like full blown why choose as it did. But it did, so we're going there.
I love that. I was not expecting that at all. So it was like, oh,
There.
hey.
You know,
All
I'm a discovery writer, so I'm kind of learning things about the characters at the same time everyone else is. So,
right.
like, I think I can't remember whether it was this podcast or another one when I was talking about book one where I said, like, I learned that, like, the handler was Michael at the same time that everybody
Everybody
else reading
else.
it did. Like, I didn't know until that point. So, like, the characters often surprise me. They play their own games. And so, when Azrael came into the story, and Lucifer and he have that first scene in that like abandoned mall, right? Like, I was like, okay, I see where this is going, right? This is quickly changing my plans.
Charlotte grows a lot in this book. Like, she grows a lot in the first book in a different way, and she really comes into herself in this one. What was it like writing kind of her arc? Did you have that planned out for where she started at the beginning of Wicked Believer and where she would end up.
I wish that like I was that much of a planner. I will say once I started Wicked Believer, I kind of knew where she was going. But I originally, when I wrote like the start of the series and I wrote Original Sinner, I was so convinced that book two was gonna be about one of the other sinners, that like Charlotte and Lucifer's story was gonna be finished at the end of book one. And so like I had a whole proposal, was like ready to go with writing this other story. And then when I started to work on it, I just kept hearing more of Lucifer and Charlotte in my head. And I was like, okay, clearly there's something to this. They're n not done. So, kind of just for fun, I toyed around with the opening scene of what became Wicked Believer. And once I'd written that opening scene, I was like, oh no, this is absolutely like where I'm supposed to be working, like where the story is supposed to be going. Clearly, their arc is not done yet. And so from that point forward, it was like, okay, I'm imagining Charlotte, where is she going to end up if we're doing three whole books about her and Lucifer? And from then on, I could kind of see where she was going, because she really needed to step into her own in a major way. You know, we see her grow a lot in Original Sinner, where she's leaving behind a lot of the shame and that she's learned from her ultra-religious upbringing, but she really needed to be able to be Lucifer's queen in this book, right? Like she is the devil's bride. She has to be able to act like it. And she was not there at the start of Wicked Believer. So as soon as I started writing it, I was like, no, I've got to find a way to make her look like she can stand beside the devil and we can believe it, right?
Yeah, for sure.
She goes through like such a realistic, like with the religious trauma. It's so relatable, especially someone in Georgia. Like you just, it's an inherent thing that you have. Did you, what was it like, and like how emotional was it to like know that this book could help people cure themselves or come to terms with their own religious trauma?
I feel like that's, yeah, it's really meaningful to me. And like when I hear people say that, like it really hit them in that way, like I feel really touched by it, because like when I'm writing, and this is gonna sound selfish, but like I don't mean it to sound that way, like I'm writing for myself first and foremost. So Charlotte and her arc and her kind of trauma and emotional journey has very much mirrored like what I'm going through in my life as I've been writing this series. And so it was like, so hearing that that has resonated with people is like being told that, like, I don't know how to describe it. But it's very meaningful to me, and I get teary-eyed if I think about
Oh, I love
it
that though. That
too much.
it's really
Yeah, it
special.
is really special. But also, is this your way of telling us your partner is the devil?
Well, we won't go there right now, but like, I will say that I have had some not good experiences with men in my life, let's just put it that way. So
Oh,
yeah.
haven't we all?
Yeah.
And when I and it's interesting, because when I say Charlotte's like journey has kind of been my own, it's like it's not quite, I think, in the way that people would expect it to be, like, but like there's some very real emotions there. And when I first started writing the series, I actually didn't set out for it to be that way, because Charlotte's background actually is a lot different from my own. And as a character, she and I have many differences, but like she, the emotions she's feeling as the series go on have very much been like a mirror of what's going on in my life. And you know, as I work through my own trauma and therapy and all those sorts of things, and that wasn't intentional. Like I really just started out writing this series as a passion project of like everything I wanted to put in a book, but it just also at the same time ended up being a situation where like I think it's a this there's this famous quote, I believe it's from Hemingway, about how like when you're really into writing something, basically you just like open up your wrist and bleed onto the page. And that is very much like what has happened as I've been writing Original Sinner and Wicked Believer and now into the third book. I just finished book three, and like less than a few weeks ago, and I'm in the middle of edits for it right now. So it's yeah, it's been a whole journey, like watching these characters unfold and also realizing how personal they became to me in the midst of all that.
Yeah, oh my gosh, I can imagine. I how like this three books in what, 2 years? How quickly are you writing, girl?
I am always like, I always think of myself as a slow writer. That's gonna sound funny because, like, especially now, like, the pace of publishing has changed so much because I think, I kind of started publishing in the days when romance, like you were expected to put out two books a year or more, like minimum. And now, like with romanticy, it's very much like one book a year, probably like at most. And so I'm suddenly fast when I all my career I thought I was very slow.
That's fair. That's fair.
I love that though, that you're like, hey, you're ahead of your own curve.
Yes, yeah. So right now I am currently working on edits for book three, and that will come out in early 2026. So yeah, I'm always a book ahead, basically, of
Yeah.
whatever you're releasing.
So is that, it sounds like that is the conclusion of Lucifer and Charlotte's story, correct?
It is the conclusion of Lucifer, Charlotte, and Azrael's story. I will rectify that. I don't want to, obviously, like, we're not, I don't think it's too much of a spoiler for anyone who's read Wicked Believer that we're going full-blown why choose in book three.
I love
Because I'm
it.
not gonna just write him out of the story.
I, you know what? I was like, the way that you're having them approach this, I'm like, are they? Or is it gonna be that? I was like, I was a little stressed out, Kate. I'm not gonna lie. I was like, I don't know where this is going. So that is very exciting to hear. So then after that, are we getting the rest of the originals as planned?
I'm hoping so. Yeah, I right now it th that's in the plans at the moment. Like a lot of what happens depends on like what I end up doing contractually and with my publisher and different things like that. But as far as I'm concerned, like the spin-off is happening, whether I end up self-publishing it or with it, whether it's with Montleg. So.
Oh, that's exciting news for us,
Yes,
though.
because I would love to see what happens with the rest of them. They're all such characters.
I'm really excited. Like as I mentioned, I had the original plan that like I was going to write about Lucifer and Charlotte for a single book and then switch to the other sinners. So writing about the other sinners has always been like in the cards for me, and I'm super excited about switching over into their points of views and like seeing what happens.
Well, so are we. We're excited to get
Yeah.
it. Okay, so we have a few questions, like you know, from last time that we always have to ask. We have a segment on the podcast that we call Fictional Boyfriend of the Week, where we pick a boyfriend that week. It doesn't have to be a boyfriend. We pick a character that week. I've had a fictional dog, a fictional son. Karen's had a fictional granny. Do you have any fictional characters other than Roy Kent that you feel the world should know about?
Oh gosh. Yeah, Roy Kent is a favorite for sure. Okay, like fictional characters, and this is gonna sound like so silly, but I don't care. I'm all about K-pop demon hunters right now. I freaking love it. It's the best.
It's
So,
so
and
good.
you know I am all here for Ginu. Like The demon, but yeah, of course. Like, it's just, yeah. They sing Idol, and I'm like, yep, I can put the track for Original Sinner. Like,
I have a 6-year-old niece, and she's like, Mimi, I want to hear I gave you, you gave me your heart. Now I'm here for your soul. Like, she doesn't know song names, and she'll say it like so, like, she's like, Mimi, I need to. And then she has a favorite. I can't remember which one is her favorite, but she shows me his dance moves. She's like, he's the one that
I
does this. And I'm like, okay.
I cannot, I literally cannot control my shoulders when Soda Pop comes on. Like, literally, there's no way. Like, how are you not just
Yeah.
bebopping along?
like, you have to. It's the rules. I didn't make them. It's so
So
good.
true. Yeah, like I watched it when I was in the middle of the deadline for book three. Like I was like, okay, I'm done with my writing for the day. My kids are in bed. Like I'm just gonna watch this like fun, K-pop thing, right? Like, and I was so obsessed. I had to show it to my kids, and now I'm like listening to the music all
All the time. My
the
God, there's something in it. Like, it's
Yes,
so
yeah,
good. It
it's
is. It is.
addictive.
I every now and then I will just burst into one of the songs. Like, I don't know. It just happens. I can't control it.
Yes, and then like if we're talking book characters, okay, I just finished recently Shield of Sparrows by Dev Perry, and The Guardian. Oh,
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes,
so
yes,
good.
yes. So good. So good. Oh,
Yeah, I was a big fan.
good choices. Good
Yeah.
choices. All right. Well, of course, the other question we always ask is, what are you reading? What are you recommending? Anything that should be on our radar?
So I just finished listening to an audiobook, Caught Up, which is the sequel to Lights Out by Nevessa Allen, which I think I talked about the last time I was here. So that was very good. And then I haven't started anything after that, but I'm about to jump into, oh gosh, I can't even remember the title. It's a JT Jessinger book. And I just finished Pin Pal by them, and so now I'm jumping into another series. I can't remember the title, but I haven't started it yet, but I'm very excited about it.
I really have to do, I have to read Lights Out. And I think I probably said this last time. I'm married to a Josh and we own a production company called Lights Out that we've had for like
You
10 years.
absolutely do. You really do.
Like, I really,
Like,
I have Josh from
yes.
Lights Out.
And
I really need to read this
get the
book.
audiobook because like the book is amazing, but the audio is next
That
level.
is literally what everybody says. They're like, if you can do audio, do the audio for that one. And I'm like, well, joke's on you. I do audio for everything.
Without giving too much away, there's some voice modulation stuff that is gonna just make you turn bright red and be like, oh my God, what am I listening to?
Oh, okay. I have to be next.
I know, right? Obsessed.
Okay, we know you have kiddos to get to bed, so we don't want to keep you too much longer. And you've kind of touched on what comes next. What can you tell us?
Yeah, so next release would be Beautiful Redeemer, which is book three in the Original Sinner series, which I am editing right now. And yeah, it is the wrap up of Charlotte in Lucifer's arc, and Asriel's thrown in there too. We get a lot more of his story and his and Lucifer's backstory and history. And yeah, I'm really proud of that one. And right now once I finish up edits, I will be starting into the book about one of the other sinners. I'm waiting to reveal which sinner it is.
Oh, that's so exciting.
You will know by the time you get to the end of Beautiful Redeemer which one it will be. Let me put it
It.
that way.
Are we getting three POVs or are we sticking with Lucifer and Charlotte for the most part?
In Beautiful Redeemer, there are three POVs, and there are three narrators for the audiobook for Wicked Believer and for Beautiful Redeemer. So, and I
Love
am
it.
so excited about the narrator for Asriel. Like, okay, I have to tell on myself a little bit here. So I was listening at the time that I was writing Wicked Believer, and I had decided to put Azrael's point of view into the later part of the book. I was listening to The Wrong Pucking Number by C.R. Jane, and it's narrated by Troy Durin, and his voice was like living rent-free in my head. And his voice basically became Azrael when I was writing. And then when I went to Audible when they were casting, I described the voice of the hero that I wanted, and I did not say that it was Troy Durin because I was like, I'm not gonna like request that specific narrator, right? Like I'm not gonna be that creepy. Like I guess is what I was telling myself, right? Like that I'm writing a character based on the person's voice. And but then they came back, and he was on the audition list, so you can damn well bet that Troy Durin is the
So
narrator for
exciting,
Azrael.
though. I love that. You know what? No, you need to be asking for the things you want, okay? Listen to Lucifer. Ask for
Right?
what you
Yeah.
want.
Like secretly I was manifesting it or something, as Jax would say, right?
But no, like no. Ask for it.
Yeah, so it came to fruition, and now when I hear him narrate the character, I'm like, this character was meant for you.
Oh, I love
Literally.
it. That's amazing.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. And congratulations for that. Good job. You
Yeah. Thank
manifested
you.
what
Thank
you
you. I'm like,
wanted.
I think you all, like, if you ever get a chance, like, because the audio for Original Sinner is amazing, and the audio for Wicked Believer just showed up in my inbox literally yesterday, and I've been listening to it, and I'm just like, the audio narrators are so good for the series. Like, I give so many props to them. They have done such an amazing job.
I love. Does it get weird listening to your own words read to you?
It is almost a little weird because I'm like, I have this frequently over and over. I'm like, I wrote this. I was the one who wrote that. Because like it sound like hearing someone read it and perform it aloud makes it so much more real than it is when I'm just typing it out loud. Like, oh my gosh, like I'm turning beet red, like listening to my own book.
You're like,
Like,
oh, I did
I'm the
that.
one who wrote it.
I
Yeah, I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I made these people say this, right? Yes, I'm like, oh my gosh, people are reading that.
I'm sure they love it, honestly.
Yeah, oh, I love that. Well, as you know, a little bit of bad news, you are legally obligated to come back for future book releases, so.
Well, I am happy to do so.
You said
It's
March? Is that what you said, March? Or did you say early?
early 2026. I'm not
Okay.
sure whether it's March or April at this point. We will I as soon as I know, you all will know. I'm like waiting for an answer from my editor.
Oh, well, that's very exciting. And so when this episode comes out, I think Wicked Believer is out. What's the pub date? I can't remember. Off
Wicked
the
Believer is out on September 9th, so.
So, oh, we'll still time to pre-order, guys. Okay, go pre-order now. Wicked Believer. And while you're at it, you should pick up Original Sinners if you don't already
Yeah,
have that, because
and I think by
bumps
the
and rolls.
time I think by the time this episode drops, there's going to be a deal going on. So even if you're not a
Ooh.
KU reader, Original Sinner will be like 99 cents for the month of September.
Oh, heck yeah.
Even better. So get on it. Go,
Yes.
go, order now. This is
Yes,
my,
please
this is me
do.
being very bad at being a dom. Don't do it.
The tiny Asian Fury, isn't that what you call yourself?
That's what Derek calls me, yeah. Oh my goodness. Thank you so much for coming back, Kate. This was so much fun. We can't wait for the
Book
conclusion.
Thank
Yay!
you. Thank you. It was so much fun being here.
We'll talk to you soon,
We'll talk to
hopefully.
you and Roy soon.
Yes, yeah, me and Roy will be back.
All righty.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
I love her. She's got such an like infectious energy.
So yes, it's wonderful. Like I love her energy. She like not just like her energy, but she energizes. Like I
Yeah.
feel like a little bit more awake.
I do too. And like
And you
I don't know
were
if I said it
yawning.
on like the podcast. I gave Karen a warning that I was going to be yawning through this whole thing because I had a migraine today, and so it's really just they drain your energy. No, she came in, no offense to you, like everything, I was interested in everything you said, but her, she was just so bubbly and excited
Yeah,
that it's
no,
like,
her
heck
energy like
yeah.
is revitalizing. No, I get it.
Yeah.
Like I feel like, oh, okay. I can go like run a marathon. I can't run a marathon,
I'm not
but
going to
you
run a
know what I mean.
marathon. I'm going to go get in my
I've got
bed,
that energy.
but
I've got that
yeah.
energy though. Like I can't actually run a marathon, but if I
Maybe I could
could.
start a load of clothes before I go to bed.
Yeah.
No.
Actually,
Hey.
yeah, I do also have to do laundry.
Yes,
Oh man, all right. Okay, time for an announcement.
yes.
Yay. Okay, so next week we are talking to, I don't know if I'm going to pronounce this correctly, Ray Terciero. Dan in Green Gables. I'm really excited. I've actually never read Anne of Green Gables, so I might read that before I dive into this, just to, I like the little like reference
The
and you know.
knowledge. Yeah.
Yeah. I like to know the lore before I go
Yeah.
into a retelling or anything that's like inspired by something else. So I'm really
The cover's
excited.
super cutie.
It is super cutie. I'm so excited. This is a graphic novel too. So it's been a while since I've read a graphic novel and I'm really
Me
excited
too.
about that. You know what's even funnier is that my daughter just told me the other day, she's like, "Mommy, I'm reading a graphic novel version of Anne of Green Gables." And I was like, "I've never even read Anne of Green Gables. What are you doing?" So the timing, like she just randomly told me and I was like, "The timing of that is
The timing
insane."
is super weird.
Yeah, but here we are. I did
That's
find
cool.
out who was it. I think it's Rachel McAdams does a version of the audiobook for Anne of Green Gables. So
Oh, cool. Love her.
yeah, I do too. So I'm excited. That'll be so much fun.
Yay.
Time for spiel? Is that where
Let's
we're
do a
at?
spiel. Yeah.
If you enjoyed this episode, please like, follow, and subscribe wherever you are listening to us. Follow us on social media. We are at the Incoherent Fangirl on all the things. Visit our website, theincoherentfangirl.com, to stream all of our episodes as well as read our blog. And if you want early access to podcast episodes, full video episodes, and bonus content, you can subscribe to our Patreon. And of course, we also have merch, so you could go to theincoherentfangirl.com/shop to get the merch. Because it's very cute and we love it. Good job, Mandy.
Thank
If you have any comments, questions, concerns, suggestions, design ideas you want to tell us that we're pretty, you know we love that. We will accept all of that in our inbox, theincoherentfangirl@gmail.com. We love hearing from y'all.
you. Yes.
And of course, one last way to support the podcast is to rate and review on whatever platform you're listening to us on. Please give us your words. We
We
love
love your
words.
words.
We know they're hard, but we do love them. So we will appreciate
Yes.
them when you give them to us.
We'll cherish your words.
She is at Mandy Perv on all the things.
She's at Ms. Made in China on all the things.
And once you've followed us on social media and you followed the podcast on social media, you can head over and give our internet besties a little visit. It's the perfect time to start shopping for the holidays.
Yep.
So, and also we promote self-care all year round, so you could also do that. First stop, you're going to visit our friends at Here Comes the Nerd at herecomesthenerd.com. Use code Fangirl and you'll get 20% off your first order.
Then, once you've got all of your cutie pins and goodies, you're going to head to onceuponabookclub.com. We have two codes you can choose from. They do not stack, but we don't care which one you use. We love you no matter which code you go with. You're going to use either code Karen10 or Mandy10 for 10% off. But if you don't spell Karen right, we are going to spray paint that you eat turds on your garage.
Gross.
We would never actually hate crime ever,
No.
but
But we can spread
and
fake
it'll be
rumors.
washable spray paint,
Yeah.
but it'll be like rainbow turd emojis on your garage. So there's that.
No, but that sounds kind of cute, actually.
It!
Turds? Rainbow? Anything rainbow is adorable.
Well, I panicked because I was like, no, people are gonna think we're actually being
No, we won't. We'll just spread false rumors that are easily debunkable. It's fine.
Yeah.
All right, and then you're gonna go visit our friend Amber D. Lewis at amberdlewis.com. Add 10 of everything from her shop into your cart, then add code FANGIRL10 to your cart because then you'll get 10% off the 10 of everything that you have added to your cart, thereby meaning you've gotten one of everything for free and finished your holiday shopping.
I mean, congratulations.
That's
Good
amazing.
job. Yeah.
Congratulations. You're so awesome.
And then I'll shout out all the purposes. So we're gonna go support the show husband. You can follow at Born of Josh on all the things, and at Searchers Podcast on all the things. That's our podcast that I do with him and his business partner Shane. They also have at Searchers Believe, which is their paranormal investigation group. You can go to searchersbelieve.com/shop and use code FANGIRL10 to get 10% off. Then the biggest one is you're going to go follow at StreamBeacon TV on all the things. It's our new streaming platform with paranormal horror and true crime content. And drum roll, da, 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 da. They're doing a show with Jack Osborne, Ozzy Osborne's son, and we are guests appearing on each other's podcasts. Which is the craziest thing in the world. So I'm gonna do something with Jack Osborne. That's the big secret. That's the big
Oh
reveal.
my God, I feel like it's been forever.
I know. By now, the internet will know about it. Apparently, there's a Daily Mail article in the works, the Sun article in the works. Very, 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 very exciting.
Super exciting. And now that
Yeah.
you know, you can understand why there was a
This is
pause.
why there was so yeah, this is why there was a pause. We were supposed to film in August, the end of July, early August. Obviously, Ozzy Osbourne passed away. That got delayed, of course. That's why we couldn't say anything. And we're getting back on track now. So follow at StreamBeacon TV on all the things. You can subscribe at StreamBeaconTV.com. And if you use code FANGIRL10, you'll get 10% off. And last but not least, go get yourself a copy of The Living and the Dead at aepurvis.com/shop. Use code Aaron Warner to get 10% off. I love it.
Will never not be funny.
I know. I thought I was funny. I laughed at
It's
myself.
great. It's perfect. We need Tata to know about this. Like,
I
I feel
know.
like
Angie's going to see her soon. Angie, I need you to tell Tahata what my coupon code is.
please. Remind her that she's the one with the matching tattoo with Aaron
Yeah, the
Warner.
Aaron Warner tattoo from Y'all West.
Oh, all right. That was the
That was the
incoherent
incoherent
fan girl.
fangirl.
Thanks for
Thank
listening. We love
you. We love
you.
you.
Bye.
Bye.
We are sponsored by our friends at Here Comes the Nerd. Pins, stickers, magnets, and more. Here Comes the Nerd has happy art for all fandom-loving hearts. New customers can use coupon code FANGIRL during checkout for 20% off their first order at HereComesTheNerd.com. Coupon applies to ready-to-ship items only.